story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
All right, so we are back for another edition of Story Time, and this week we are joined by none other than the famous or infamous, I guess, depending on how you look at it, hashtag Magic Mark. Say hello, hashtag Magic Mark.
Hey, everybody.
All right, thanks for being here this week. We had some more strange going-ons happening where the engine to the wet lash, blew up. There was a cannon that was shot down at the engine for some reason. We couldn't quite figure out why. It's not the first time it's happened, but this time whoever it was successful at their duty of trying to blow up the engine, and we didn't exactly know what was going on.
It was pretty strange.
We like detected magic and nobody could find anything magical, but our paladin friend, Brother Casey, detected that there was something extravagantly evil was going on here, and we couldn't quite figure out what was going on or where it was coming from. And so we went through a whole this took, like, I was timing how long it took us to do this, and it took us over 2.5 hours to figure out what the heck
was going on
with this section of the night. Yeah, it was great. I got to punch out Stephen Creel at one point in time, so that was great. Yeah. But we'll get to that. It's everything Songjin has ever wanted to do.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so we began the night basically exactly where we left off the 2 weeks before that we had played. The cannon had gone off. The whole crew had like woken up because they heard this cannon go off in the middle of the night and rushed around this cannon, and basically Cedric is down in the engine room with a cannonball through the engine. He's shut it down because he knows if he leaves it on, it could explode and destroy the entire ship. And he knows, oh man, this is going to be a lot of work. And so the whole crew is looking down at Cedric, just like sitting on the ground, just defeated. And everybody's like you said, Chris, everybody at this moment is just like, what is going on? And that's kind of where we started off. So what happened from there? What was all the steps that you guys took to figuring out what had happened?
Well, we initially, I, as Cedric, was initially all concerned about getting the engine fixed. So priority one was get the cannonball out. And then from there was fix the stupid thing. So I unfortunately wasn't super involved in the investigation part of it because I was like, this is my job. I know what I'm supposed to do is make it so the boat can go again.
But yeah, there was just weird things that started happening around the ship. I noticed right away, I was like, there's got to be some, but like people that do crimes like this, I'm sure want to stick around and revel in the mayhem that they started. And so we were looking around and I noticed this gnome that was like really sweaty and just like staring off into La La Land, like didn't know what in the world was happening. And so we kind of had our target set on him, and he started doing more and more weird and random things throughout the next couple of weeks. He was out mopping one day and he was just like staring out at the ocean, just mopping.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Didn't really know. He was just super freaked out about what had ever happened. And we asked him over and over, like, do you know anything? Do you know what's going on? And he was like, I don't know anything. Like, I'm not sure what is going on. Duerdain had gone up to the crow's nest and found some random pieces of like people's belongings. There was gold and a dagger and like a pipe that had some, you know, tobacco residue in it. And so it was like, there's just weird things happening on the ship, and we don't exactly know what's going on at all. And then one night when we were all just, I think we were all sleeping for the most part, there was a moment in time where Captain Garzak was sleeping in his quarters, and for whatever reason there wasn't a guard on duty, or the person slipped past the guard, but Captain Garzak is sleeping in the middle of the night, and he wakes up and he sees this gnome like standing over him. And then the last thing that Captain Garzak remembers, really, is getting a knife shoved straight into his neck. And he yells out this name, Dimbleboss! And that's all he could get out before he passed out from loss of blood coming out of his neck. And everybody hears it. Like, at this point, people start running from all over the ship. And we get up there, and there's Dimblebus, the same gnome we had talked to many, many times before, passed out in the middle of the floor with blood all over his hands. And we are just like, what in the world is going on? Like, this guy just blatantly lied to us. Like, how do you not know that you're doing these things when we talk to you? How do you not know these when your zone of truth? Like, how do you not know what's going on at all? Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because, yeah, you did zone of truth him and he said he didn't know. And because that's how the zone of truth works, you guys knew he was telling the truth that he didn't know.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they ended up locking him up. I'm pretty sure Zillicent sicked his minions on him and he, you know, was tortured thoroughly in the dungeons because, like last time when we saw the Noggles when they were down there, they were treated like crap. And so I can only imagine the same thing happened to Dimblebus while
he was described as his hands and feet were shackled together and then he was strung from the ceiling upside down or something like that.
Yeah, it was something just absolutely
they poured cold water on him.
It was
terrible.
They didn't let him sleep. They were going to get to the bottom of whatever the heck happened to Captain Garzak. And
real Zero Dark 30 stuff.
Yeah, right. And so I didn't believe, as Sanjin, that Dimblebus could have done this. Like, there has to be more going on. So yeah, Sanjin goes down and he believes 100% that Dimblebus is innocent. Like, there's no way that he would have tried to kill the captain. And I brought up to him that, you know, he was found in the quarters with bloody hands and he had made his way all the way up. And we told him that his roommate, Pedrick, was dead. Like, he had died, like he had been murdered in his room. And so Dimblebus was just distraught because it was we were all pretty sure that he had done it too, for whatever reasoning he did it. And so we brought that up to him and he just started crying in his cell. And it's like, you know, where do we go from here? He's not going to get out. Like, there's no possible way that we can prove that he's guilty or innocent. We have no idea where we're supposed to go next.
Yeah, like, is this guy completely crazy or is something, you know, I think the whole Dordain sensed evil kind of aura presence made some of you guys think something more is going on here. And so when you asked him about it, Dimblebus, like, finally, and he said he didn't tell you this before, but he said that he had been losing track of time. Like, he'd go to bed and he'd wake up and he'd be standing in the middle of the ship or up on the crow's nest or whatever, wherever it was. He just lost track of time, like he's been sleepwalking somehow. And so you locked him up, he's in the jail cell, and you, Sanjin, were like, okay, I will watch after you, because you're expecting this to happen more, and you're like, I'm gonna catch him,
right?
Whatever's going on, I'm gonna see what's going on. And so you're like down in the brig. Once again, you always seem to be down in the brig with the prisoners, just like watching over them.
And because I don't trust the guards. Like, I don't trust that they're going to treat innocent people. I mean, the Noggles weren't innocent, but they're not going to treat people well when they're down in here. But something interesting happened to Cedric in this point in time.
Yeah, so, well, you're supervising Dimblebus. I end up having my own little moment. I found myself on the bridge of the ship. And was like climbing over the edge to jump in the water was how I kind of figured it. And I came to right then as I'm like about to leap. And as soon as that happens, I kind of make the decision as a character to turn around and go straight to the brig. And I walk in and I tell the guard to open the door and just put me in there. And everybody's looking around like, what? And I eventually just I get in. And then I'm like told, and Sanjin's there, and Dimblebus is there, and everybody's looking at me like, what the heck is going on? So I go, whatever got Dimblebus or whatever, I just found myself in this place that I'm missing time. And so whatever ails him now ails me was kind of the conclusion. So here I am suddenly in the cell just going, okay, I'm locked up until we can figure this out.
Now Sanjin is watching both Dimblebus and he's watching Cedric. Like, what is going on? Like, I think at some point you guys were like joking, but somebody was like, it's a gnome disease. They're all going crazy.
Oh yeah. That's right. I forgot Cedric was a gnome. Yeah.
But yeah, you're wondering, is this a sickness that's traveling across the ship? Are we all going to start like losing track of time and like just doing weird things? And so while Sonjen is watching these two on another night, who came in the door?
Oh, my bestest buddy in the whole world came in through the door. That's you. Stephen Creel, like, I just imagine, like, Stephen kicked open the door because he's, like, for whatever reason, he just decided to kick the door in this
time. Imagine it, like, opening really slowly, like the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and his face just, like, all, like... slack and stuff, and he's just walking into the room
totally blank,
all weird. Yeah, and he draws a scimitar, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And he started coming at me. I was like, okay, like I said, I will let him have the first swing because I don't know what's going on with this guy. And so he swung at me and missed, and then I proceeded to, much to my enjoyment as a player, knock Stephen Creel out for the first time and hopefully the last time. But I got to take out a little bit of my agitation with who Stephen is on him because Stephen, he was trying to attack me. And so we knock him out completely. I mean, he's just out cold. And up from his body rises something.
So up from his body rises in ghostly chains a dripping wet in appearance Noggle. One of the Noggles.
I think we said he had some seaweed on him too.
Yeah, seaweed covered in chains. And this Noggle just starts laughing. And like Stephen Creel was laughing the entire time that he was fighting you, even when he was getting punched. And all of a sudden it turns to Stephen is down, knocked out on the ground. And this Noggle starts rising up from his body, just cackling and laughing. And you see this ghost of the Snoggle, and so does the guard who's there, and so did Cedric and Dimblebus. And because of what a ghost does in 5e, you guys all had to roll a wisdom save, and all of you guys make it except for the guard who's there, and he ages 30 years before your eyes. And so the Noggle rises up through the ceiling and just disappears. Sonjen busts up and he just starts going, and he tells the guard to come with him, and you guys wake up everybody. Oh, the captain, everybody. The captain has at this point been healed. Everything's okay with him. So him and the rest of the group, they are getting together and they're like, you're telling them the Noggle is back. He's a ghost. He wants to kill us. Like, he's mad. He's got some unfinished business. And while you guys are getting together to find this ghost Noggle, what was happening with Cedric and Dimblebus down in the brig?
Well, we're hanging out together and we see the ghost leave Stephen Creel because it's hallway next to bars kind of thing. And as soon as we think we're good, because the ghost ran away like in a weird direction, all of a sudden it comes up through the floor and tries to get me. I succeed on my save, and so the ghost just immediately turns around and goes right towards Dimblebus, who, as we've deduced at this point, is really bad at those saves. So he ends up getting possessed by the ghost, and instead of trying to come after me, like I was all ready to like attack and defend myself, he just grabs the chains, loops them around his neck, and begins to hang himself.
Which is really weird, because that's like the Noggle I would have figured would have hated chains, I know, right? Of all things.
Yeah. And so I, quick thinking and magical abilities, cast Tensor's floating disc and lift up the gnome under his feet to help him stay non-suicidal. And from there, I think combat ensues, which is its own little adventure.
Yeah, everybody comes down and they see you're just concentrating to keep this disc under Dimblebus, who keeps on trying to run off the edge and like and kill himself because the Noggle is in charge and is trying to just off as many people in this crew as possible. And all of a sudden they open the gate and battle just begins.
So from there, combat ensues, and it's this little adventure of how do you deal damage to a ghost, which is much easier, but compared to 3.5.
Oh my gosh, so much easier.
Yeah, so we fight the ghost. The ghost is finally defeated. And we have this moment of celebration because we figured out what the problem was.
I'm really surprised nobody wondered if there was another ghost on board, because we did technically kill three of them. That was never brought up in the conversation at all.
But at that point in time, it was like, well, I guess we're going to move on. And if it happens again, it happens again. So now we're just giving Mitch fuel to burn the fire later.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if there's any more ghosts. There weren't any at that moment. So, and it started to make sense of why people's belongings were disappearing again and why the cannon went off. Same kind of plan, except it worked this time because the Noggle was up to his old tricks. But you guys beat the ghost. You sent him to where he was supposed to go, to the next life. and so everything was okay in that aspect. Dimblebus is probably going to have to see the ship counselor. Yeah, right. Like, you guys have a counselor.
Zillow sends the counselor.
And Stephen Creel's probably going to have a nice little bruise on his face from where you knocked him out.
Hey, he won't know where it came from, though.
That's true.
Yeah. It'll be a mystery. That's a memory you want him to have, though, right? So he'll stay away.
Unfortunately, Dimblebus had like a big psychological terribleness into this whole adventure. I mean, he killed his roommate. He's probably going to be pretty messed up at this point. But then the other guy who really just suffered from it was the guard Christian, who aged 30 years. So now we have a 70-year-old guard walking around the ship. Yeah. Like, not the best of memory anymore. Just totally old. We travel some more days, nothing really remarkable happens, and then eventually the ship on a morning, everything seems to be going okay, the ship all of a sudden starts to lean completely, and everybody on the ship is rolling because it's like it's leaning to the right side, the left side is like up out of the water. And what was going on with the ship?
Well, a giant remora fish attached itself to the side, which, for those of you who don't instantly go, remora fish, oh, that's what that is those algae eaters that like attach to sharks and whales and whatnot. But it attached itself to our boat, and it was so heavy and so significant that it tipped our balance. And so instantly Cedric's conclusion is, this sounds like a solution to our lack of food problem. So we end up having a conversation and how to apprehend this ginormous fish. And while we're having this conversation, I think somebody, I'm not quite sure who anymore, brings up the idea of, okay, well, if this is a giant fish that attaches itself to other fish, what was it attached to? But that kind of fell to the wayside too, from the idea of, but more food, we're hungry and we want more food. So we figure out how to apprehend and capture this fish and kill it and all that fun stuff. And as that happens, they start to like cut it open to get the meat, and this gross blood and muck just starts pouring out all over the ocean. It's quite the oil slick.
Yeah, you guys had gotten into the three lifeboats that the ship had, and Captain Garzek was down like in one of the lifeboats ordering the men, like, cut it up, because it was way too big to like pull up. And so you guys were like cutting it up and pulling up these chunks of meat. And yeah, inside, because it was a remora fish, most of what the insides were disgusting algae muck grossness, which I know a couple of you were like, oh, that's kind of disappointing, but I guess makes sense. And so, yeah, like you said, the water's filling up with muck and with blood. And like you said earlier, Mark, somebody had brought up that, what was this thing originally attached to? And you guys started to see bubbles coming up from the water underneath one of these lifeboats.
Yeah, and the bubbles slowly got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And Captain Garzak is out in the water at this point in time. He's right up next to the fish. But these bubbles are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And one of the ships was completely engulfed in the jaws of a massive dragon turtle. We just see these jaws come shooting up out of the water, and then there's no more boat. It's completely gone. Everybody that's in it is gone. The ship is gone, and the dragon turtle goes back into the water. And it's one of those moments.
Well, that's not 100% true. Because I think, like, I've usually put in your hands the life of all the other crew members, so I had all of you guys roll a reflex save for all of them, and three out of the four members totally engulfed. One of them makes it out, and now he's out of the lifeboat, in the water, splashing around in big waves from this giant dragon turtle.
I just imagine the Jaws music going throughout this whole battle sequence, because you don't know when the dragon turtle's going to come up next.
I just see, I think Sanjin did like yell out to Captain Garzek, just like, "Captain Bubbles," or something along those lines. And I see, like you said, the Jaws music and like that being yelled out in slow-mo. So like Sanjin's like, "Captain."
Yeah. And so Captain Garzek is up by the remora fish, just, you know, sawing away, trying to get as much food as possible for the ship. And I believe we kind of said, all right, everybody's got to get out of the water. Like, I feel like that would make sense for everybody to get out of the water. And I had this moment where, as Sanjin, I'm standing on the deck of the ship, and I'm wondering, is it worth having this big remora fish hooked up to our lifeboat, you know, pulley system? Or is it worth cutting this thing free and trying to get the lifeboats back up from the water? And so we did that. And I believe it was Captain Garzak's boat that the dragon turtle was coming towards. And I don't know if you rolled like a percentage for his ship or whatever, but the dragon turtle veered off to the side and took a big old bite out of the remora fish. So we caused a little bit of a diversion for this thing for at least one or two more rounds before everybody else could get back into the ship. And so everybody's trying to come back. There's a couple more people that get eaten. I think there was another lifeboat that got overturned, and there's like a couple of people that are just floating out in the water at this point. Captain Garzak's ship is out there.
Yeah, Zillicent the whole time had been below deck manning the cannon crew and had been shooting volleys of cannonballs at the dragon turtle trying to scare it off. And I think that's what caused the veer, was some sort of impact from the cannon. Like, it was going and then it got hit and it was like, well,
yeah, it was multiple
this.
Times. So sometimes it was a cannon fire. Sometimes it was the dropped remora fish bits, whatever it was. So we had three lifeboats in the water. One is completely engulfed right off the bat, just like totally destroyed. And then we have another guy floating in the water. A couple other guys fell out of the boat, and Captain Garzek is like, I'm expecting him to be like, I'm going to get back up in the ship, but he's trying to save his men in the water. And so we got cannonballs flying. We're rolling percentiles to see if the cannonballs hit the lifeboats. And Sanjin, like, with cutting the remora fish meat off, he starts to get one of the lifeboats out of the water. So we've saved one of the lifeboats. Unfortunately, Garzek was going after that one guy who flew out of the first lifeboat, and he's just being tossed and turned in the water. And we have this like these couple of turns where Garzek is trying to get close enough to pull him up into the lifeboat and save him. And eventually he does. However, at that point, it was unfortunately too late because the dragon turtle was turning back around. And what happened to the lifeboat that Captain Garzek and this other crew member were in? What happened
all
to them?
All we could see was giant jaws come up from the water and snap down, and then there was suds in red. So we spend those like brief few moments staring down at the water, both as characters and as players looking around the table going, is Garzek dead? Did we just kill him on a percentile roll? That seems strange. So we find ourselves looking around going, dude, I'm sorry, but Paladin Caleb, your character's dead. Okay, what do we do now? Kind of how do we move on from this? Who's next in command? Who's the captain now? And as we're all running through those questions, of course, Mitch interrupts and goes, and we see Garzek surface above the water.
But
and
You guys lift him up out of the water. And what was the butt?
He is missing a leg. I believe it was his right leg. Yep. But I'm not sure if it was specified.
You were right.
In my mind, it was his right leg. So he's missing a leg, and we find him legless, and we find ourselves figuring out how to fix this problem. And that is where we ended.
He had a really rough night. He got stabbed in the neck, almost died. He got eaten by a dragon turtle, we thought. But he just lost a leg. It was a very rough night for Caleb and Garza.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad night.
I mean, it was more of a rough night for those guys in the lifeboats that didn't make it out. But
well, the dead
and
people.
Now
of
you guys
but
only
they
have
players.
One lifeboat. Hope you guys
didn't
never need those.
Well, it's not like those lifeboats are making it back to shore anyway.
Well, it's kind of weird that we only had three that hold 8 people in them. And we have a crew of like 80 people. So the numbers were always going to be skewed in the favor of whoever's more important getting off the boat. Now they're just even more skewed.
So that was the adventures that we had this time on the Voyage of the Unending Sea. And before we close it out, we have
some words from the Journal of Songjin.
Day 132 on the Voyage of the Unending Sea. I knew something like this was bound to happen. You cannot be as reckless as this crew has been without some significant repercussions. Our crew simply does not care about anything but themselves. The Noggles, who may have had a chance and were thrown overboard, are now back in their ephemeral forms, and they were back with a vengeance. They destroyed our ship's propulsion system, and they nearly killed our captain, and our friend Pedrick is dead. All because they didn't give life a chance to change. I must try harder. I partially blame myself because of these deaths. I could not help enough people see that life matters no matter whose life it is. I hope with everything that the captain has endured over the past few weeks that will help him come to the realization that life is indeed precious. It should be cherished and not so easily disposed of. He has had 2 near-death experiences, and I can't help but believe that because his life was spared, that maybe, just maybe, he would try harder to spare the lives of others, and not just those of his crew. There is hope. I can only cling to hope. That is all that I have out here, and if there is not hope, there is nothing.
Thanks for listening to this week's Storytime. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters, and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.